First, I want to say a big thank you to the choir for their music this morning and to Debbie and Phil. We have been working for a long time trying to make this happen for them to be here, and so I'm so happy that they're here today. I encourage you to come back this evening at 5 o'clock upstairs in the atrium. We'll have coffee and snacks, and they're going to sing a concert. And so I invite you to be back for that this evening. When Rachel and I sat down and started thinking about this month, and knowing that we had Debbie and Phil coming, and knowing that we have the a cappella group coming at the end of the month, it just clicked that we needed to make February about music, about using the art in worship. How can we connect with God in a real way through music? I wrote in my Mirror article, if you read it this month, about the fact that music played such an important part in my life growing up. I remember sitting, or actually standing, on the pew next to my dad as he would hold the hymnal and we would sing hymns. From a small child, I was drawn to the piano, and I would sit it and just play until I began taking lessons as soon as my teacher would take me. I sang in choirs my whole life. I sang in a gospel choir in Oklahoma called Ambassadors. At a time when church worship could be very busy and draining for me, singing in that choir, whether it be rehearsal or concert, fed me in a way that I couldn't be fed any other way. When we all get together and sit down and plan worship, the words to the song mean something to me. You may feel like we just sit down and pick songs, but I read the words of the song. Someone will throw out a hymn and I'll read the words and say, no, that's not what I'm going to be preaching about. And we search for songs that say what need to be said. I'll find a song and I'll love the words and I'll say, Rachel, do you know the tune? Sing it to me. There are so many songs that we sing that we know, and they mean something different to each one of us. And I think it's important to keep singing them and allowing them to move us. And I'd never thought about the fact that Kevin brought up that songs I sing, probably my great-great-great-grandparents sang, and hopefully my great-great-grandchildren will sing. But it's also important for us to sing new songs. Songs that we've never heard before, and if we open ourselves up to them and the words and the melodies, they can speak to us in new and different ways. Music can impact us. Music can open us to praising God in unique ways. So the song that I chose to emphasize today, you might not know, I didn't. It's a very old song. It's a song about praising God, and it's called Praising God Who Reigns Above. And I would love for you to take the hymnal out and open up to page 334. And we're going to look at those words through this service. But let me set the stage for a moment. Charles Wesley was perhaps one of the most prolific songwriters ever to set pen to paper. He attended Westminster School in London and then on to Oxford. It was said that he wrote between 6,000 and 7,000 poems in his life. Of those poems, about 300 of them survive today as hymns. Wesley wrote all the time. If he was moving, he was writing. It was said if he was on a bicycle, he was writing a hymn. If he was sitting with pencil and paper, he was writing a hymn. Many years he spent in the pulpit. As you may note, John Wesley and Charles Wesley began the Methodist Church, and it was his practice at the end of his sermon to read a poem. And so many of these poems were written for that purpose. He never reused them. He never really looked at them again. He just wrote them, spoke them, and set them aside. Other people came along and published them later and set them to music. Charles was the youngest of 19 children. He was the 18th boy. Think about that. Charles Wesley's hymns not only employed the theme of the heart, but also the language of the heart. In this hymn, he calls it the music of the heart. I'd like to read the first verse. Follow along. Praise the Lord who reigns above and keeps his court below. Praise the holy God of love and all his greatness show. Praise him for his noble deeds. Praise him for his matchless power. Him from whom all good proceeds, let earth and heaven adore. Sometimes I wonder, do we take for granted the wonder of God? Of course we do. Of course we do. Do we forget that although God reigns over all of us, that is, that rather God that holds us does not hold us to perfection. God is not a God who punishes us when we stray. God who has the right to ask us, because all we've been given, God has a right to ask us to behave in a certain way. Instead, God leaves all of that here on earth and raises us to a place we don't deserve, a place of mercy, a place of forgiveness. God wipes our slate clean. If that isn't reason to praise, then what reason is there? All good, all that is so amazing, all that we have, and sometimes we just take it for granted. And we go on about our lives and we forget to say, God, I praise you for who you are and what you've given to me. Let heaven and earth adore. You know, most of this year, I have invited you into a time of adoring God. You may remember I had one of my children at Bible study this last summer at camp say that that's what they thought worship was, adoring God. And I loved it so much that I started using it. Because when we worship, we adore. Let heaven and earth adore. There is a book I love to read about worshiping. It says, it's called preaching, it's called parenting from the pews, I'm sorry. It says you need to teach children to worship because it's what we're doing for all eternity. They need to learn to love it now. We all need to learn to love worshiping now. Let heaven and earth adore. The next verse of the song says, celebrate the eternal God with harp and psaltery, timbrels soft and cymbals loud, in his high praise agree. Praise him using every tuneful string. All the reach of heavenly art, all the power of music bring, the music of the heart. I couldn't help but laugh when I read this verse because it's so incredibly beautiful, but sometimes people have in their mind exactly what type of music you have to praise God. Some want the organ. Some want the piano. Some want a band. Some want choirs. Some want no instruments whatsoever. Some want drums and guitars and keyboards. But what I get from this verse is that whatever makes your music in your heart is what you need to adore God. There have been debates for so long now about what type of music churches need. Churches have closed their door over the subject. But you know, if God could speak to Charles Wesley in 1743, if God could speak to Fanny Crosby in 1800s, and to Milburn in the 1900s, and to R.G. Huff in the 2000s, then what year do we believe God quit using people to write and testify? Sit and listen to our own Kristen Werner as she writes beautiful songs that really speak to me and move me. The songs we heard today from Phil and Debbie that they wrote. The song that we often sing at the end of communion, "To Everyone Born a Place at the Table." Musicians today write music that is inspired by God. God is alive and well and still working today through artists of all genres. The last verse of the song says this: "Him in whom they move and live, let every creature sing. Glory to their maker, give and homage to their king. Hallowed be his name beneath, as in heaven on earth adored. Praise the Lord in every breath. Let all things praise the Lord." Aren't those beautiful words? Praise the Lord in every breath. Can I ask you, when was the last time you praised the Lord in every breath? When was the last time you looked at all that God created and said, "Thank you"? Praising God for creating. And when was the last time you looked down and deep in your soul and declared God as your king? That word we don't like a lot, do we? We have this earthly picture of a king as controlling and unfair and difficult and sitting in a high place and looking down on us. But God created us and all that we have. God loves us as a parent loves a child unconditionally. God cherishes us and really asks us very little in return. Our place in the world is to declare our God, creator and king, and profess that with all that is within us. I wandered into a little shop in a place called Maka'awau. I may say that wrong. Jim will correct me. I began talking with the owner of this shop, who had designed all this beautiful artwork. Her artwork was on paintings, was on scarves, was on blouses and shirts and cards, and well, everything you can imagine. But one of the cards that she had said this: "Listen with ears of tolerance. See through eyes of compassion. Speak with the language of love." I'll say that one more time. Listen with ears of tolerance. See through eyes of compassion. Speak with the language of love. Oh, that we could live that. Oh, that every pore of our bodies could share love. And in that love, we praise our Maker and we honor our King. And everyone around us knows that we worship God. And we praise God with every breath we take. Amen and amen.